Like the show? Want to listen to episodes early? Consider becoming a patron. Starting at the $3 a month level, patrons get access to a custom patron-only feed where we put out episodes of upstairs studio podcasts like the Childcare Bar and Grill, Miss Becky's Classroom, That Early Childhood Nerd, the Renegade Rules podcast, and others early. That feed is just for patrons. You could be one of them. Go to patreon.com/playvolutionhq or click the link in the show description to learn more. Live from the new downstairs upstairs studio in studio, Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Tasha Johnson.
Aloha.
And live via the Zoom multimedia meeting platform, Sam Balch. How are you doing, Sam?
I'm great. How are you?
Great. We're glad to have you back on the show, Sam. Sam is going to be joining us. We started this with Josie a while back, having Josie the librarian come in for a while, every once in a while.
Josie the librarian.
That's going to be your new
Instagram
tag. Coming to talk books and literacy with us. Sam is going to do the same about program policies. She's been working on program policy samples and kind of explainers for the Playvolution HQ site. They've been very popular, and we thought we'd pair some podcast episodes together with those posts just to give people a little
more
to think about. A policy pairing.
Ooh.
Before we jump into that, we've got to talk about something. Sam, individually today, we decided, we need naps because we're going to stay up late with Sam. Now, Sam, it's 2 hours later here, which is only 7 fucking p.m., but still, it might be a late night for us, so we had to rest. And so I want our audience to understand the extent we go to bring them good pod. But the other thing is, it's also Friday night, and you're in your mid-20s, and you're hanging out with a bunch of old people on the internet, which sets volumes to what kind of nerd you are.
Absolutely.
And you have a comment?
if you listen very closely, pod listeners, in the background of Upstairs Downstairs Studio, you can hear the fire that Lisa Murphy has brought to life in the corner.
You might hear a dog growl in the
or a smoke alarm.
If you hear the beeping, just turn off the podcast.
I'll just start recording on my phone and it'll be a seamless episode. So Sam, this first one we're going to do, we're going to talk about cultural celebrations and holidays and thoughts around program policies around that topic. So where do we start?
And I realized we have a guest, but I want to ask our guest to define the difference since this. Who typed this up and sent this?
I cut and pasted it from Sam's message.
Okay, so Sam, if you're feeling on the spot, then you call me on that and I'll direct it to Jeff. I would like to know, for our listeners, the difference between a cultural celebration and a holiday.
So A, good question. B, the definition that Jeff cut and pasted is not actually my definition.
I'm not looking at it. I just see cultural celebrations and holidays. So I honestly was curious as to what the...
No, and I think this is a good question. So the reason why, if listeners, you go to the Playvolution HQ website, which you should all be doing, and you look at this policy, it's called Cultural Holidays and Celebrations. Because one of the sample policies I found defined those as two different things. And I thought that was interesting. And I thought, okay, I kind of understand where they're coming from. I think I might refer to this page as that in case somebody, honestly, this was a little bit of a search engine optimization thing on my end that might then couple the two together. And if someone is searching for examples of one, but it's phrased differently.
You can tell Sam is young. Search engine optimization.
I know, right?
She's all internet savvy.
At least she said it out all the way and didn't just say SEO and assume that we all knew what she was talking about.
I'm not that much of a jerk. So I will define it.
here's my take on that. I've been an atheist for, well, since I was 12 or 13. And
since you knew that was an option.
Yeah. Since
an option.
Well, actually I've been an atheist since longer before that was technically an option for me, I think. But anyway, Christmas has been something I've celebrated as a cultural kind of thing. But
is that not social or cultural?
Well, yeah.
Could it be sociocultural?
Yes.
I don't know, but that to me is a piece of it because I mean, but then is a Christmas holiday? I don't know. It's very confusing, isn't it?
No, I don't think it's confusing. I think that the conversation of just holidays, again, brings up just your own stuff, where you've been, what you've been taught, what you've learned. Do you really believe in it? If it is a quote religious holiday, have you kind of discarded maybe the religious component, but you know, you're not a Scrooge, so I'll maybe put up a tree and decorate my house and exchange gifts with people. But at the core of it, I'm not doing this because I believe, you know, what maybe the original intention was. But then, I mean, that brings up then thousands of conversations about where did the holidays that we think we're celebrating actually come from, right? So holidays, I believe, is its own conversation worthy of, well, I don't know if it's worthy of unpacking in this forum, but I think...
And I mean, part of this is we want to put all the stuff under a big tent so it covers, I mean, all of those things that pop up. And, you know, not to piss off anybody that's easily offended because their thing got left out, right? I mean, that's a piece of it, right? Isn't that a thing? That's a part of it, isn't it? Maybe?
Well, yeah. I mean, I remember at first, I mean, my first couple of years, I just did the holidays in the classroom that I was familiar with. I didn't even ever stop to think as to why I was doing it. It was on the calendar, so we did it. And then I was like, oh, shoot, this is totally... like my holiday. So then in reaction, I celebrated everything, absolutely everything.
Yep.
December was a joke. We were doing like Hanukkah, St. Lucia Day. The kids were walking around with candles on their heads. You know, I mean, and it wasn't to be anything other than, oh, I have this new bit of information that there's other holidays out there. Let's celebrate them. And that, you know, did everybody have a good time? Of course they did. But, you know, did they understand any of it? Yeah, probably not.
Well,
right.
We had raisin cake and had a candle on our head. That was awesome when you're four.
Sounds delicious. We're living in a world where May the 4th has become...
Oh, May the 4th.
Well,
May the 4th.
Very
and
true.
And Pi Day.
Well, and Pi Day and
Talk Like a Pirate Day.
Talk Like a Pirate Day.
I mean,
so if those become sociocultural holidays,
yeah, and so I mean, they have a place in here. I mean, I think I would be very interested in visiting a program that was celebrating Talk Like a Pirate Day. So Sam, what should we take into consideration when we're thinking about program policies around these things? And I realize that when we've got the camera set up, you can see me drinking tea, but that's all.
That is, listeners, all I can see is the disembodied hand of Jeff Johnson as he reaches for his tea mug.
Well, we wanted to make sure you got a good view of Lisa and Tasha. Yes. So, I mean,
well, especially because I have
really a collaborative experience.
Lisa has a new tank top she wanted to show off. So,
which, of course, nobody can see except
for Sam. Sam can blog. Sam can blog about it. Be some fan art about it later.
In my quote research unquote on this topic, things to keep in mind are very much sort of the things you're going to keep in mind when crafting pretty much any policy for your program or center. So you need to know what you want the children and families you serve to get out of being a part of your community. Is it important to you that every major holiday in December is celebrated, like, equitably and equally, and there's a party for each of them, and the kids have candles on their heads and eat raisin cake for St. Lucia Day? If that's important to you, you can do that. Like, you have the power to do that. At the same time, if you need a permission slip that says, I do not have to have a party for every holiday, consider this your permission slip. You don't have to. I'm not saying that will be easy, because you also have other stakeholders in your program, like the parents and possibly a board of directors and whoever else is working with you. But really, at the heart of all of this is, what do you want the children in your community to experience? What's important to you, and how are you going to express that in a way that is developmentally appropriate and also feasible? So can you afford to foot the bill if you're going to have a Hanukkah party and a Christmas party? I realize we're talking a lot about generally wintry holidays. Mm-hmm. There are more, but that's at the time of recording, that's sort of where everyone's looking ahead to. Or are you comfortable if you want them to have that experience, or you have parents that are like, I want to have a Hanukkah party for the children in the school. Are you comfortable letting the parents do that? You know, where are you at? I will also say for the listeners, I'm in sort of an interesting position to be the person writing about this because I have never actually run my own program. So for the three people who have run their own programs, what are some things that you did or are doing or would change?
Well, I know that part of my evolution was, as I've kind of already shared a little bit, was as a teacher thinking, oh, well, it's December, so you have to celebrate Christmas. And then getting my worldview expanded by realizing, oh, shoot, I didn't even realize. I mean, I knew about Hanukkah, but I mean, I didn't know about Kwanzaa. I didn't know about St. Lucia. I didn't know about, you know, I didn't know about other stuff. So I like swung as, you know, to the complete other side. And then I kind of found the center. And then I was hanging with Bev Boz all the time. Not all the time, that's incorrect. But I was very much influenced by her words. And then I started thinking, like, why are we even doing holidays in the first place? I really started examining, you have entire months now that have become dedicated to something that, you know, in some months Hallmark invented. And, you know, is that really what I'm calling a play-based good program, best practice, child-centered development program, blah, 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 blah. And I took a page out of Bev's book and we celebrated family routines and family rituals. So what is something that's being celebrated in your house? And regardless, whatever that might be. And that's what we started celebrating. So I wasn't anti-holiday, but I wanted to make sure that we weren't only doing what the teacher's lens experienced and that we weren't doing like that really weird Taco Tuesday global, I think I'm being multicultural, but really I'm really kind of being insulting without realizing it and yep. Very superficial and not really understanding. So when the school was open, I think like in December, what I told the staff was that it's actually of a benefit to the children that this place isn't as crazy and chaotic because their house currently is. Grandma's in town, there's presents, mm-hmm. There's a tree, you're staying up too late, you're eating a lot of sugar. This needs to be just the business as usual place. You know, do I care if you put red, green, and white peppermint scented paint at the easel? Now, would I probably get on your case if you started cutting out Santa pieces for the kids to glue together? I might want to know what inspired you to do that. So I very much like to think anyway that I would meet teachers where they were, but then also would be trying to get them to be moving towards a more, we're here for play and DAP, not to be, you know, overly focused on holidays.
Right. So
that's very much a very, like, you know, a 6 minute answer to the where has Lisa Murphy been and then where is she at this juncture? I don't think you should.
Helpful.
I mean, if honestly, I would say don't do them. I would start with don't do them and then see where, not that there would be pushback in a negative way, but then let the audience show you, let the people tell you, are you in a place where 99.999% have a tree and celebrate Christmas? Okay, then I might become a little bit more flexible. Am I in an environment where I have no idea what anybody's celebrating? If they're celebrating anything for whatever reason, religious, cultural, financial, you know, mm-hmm. I'm going to take all of that into consideration. And so I think it's a lot sloppier. And that's why policies are so tricky.
Yep.
which is why I thought it was very brave of Sam to take on this project of trying to put together some thinking points on how to write these up. I think our experience was, you know, back in our center days, we were in a program that was operated by the freaking Salvation Army. So that comes with some predetermined baggage for mm-hmm. a couple bigger holidays.
Yes.
And so we kind of worked around that. But at that time we were probably doing what most programs did, and that was, you know, hearts at Valentine's Day and that kind of stuff. But as we evolved and then finally moved into family childcare, I think it got to the point where we became child-led, and if it was something the kids brought up, then it's something that worked its way into our days. And if it wasn't, then it didn't. And that varied from holiday or cultural celebration to holiday or cultural celebration, and year to year, and child to child. So I think that path of evolution was something that we traveled.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people have either been on that same path or are definitely on that same path currently. I know for me in my current program where I work, I had a student ask me today, for the listeners, it's currently mid-November as we are recording. And a student came up to me and said, we need Thanksgiving books. And I looked at him and I said, can you tell me more about what a Thanksgiving book is? And she's like, I don't know. I'll think about it. So, and he left and he went to go think about what Thanksgiving books are. And I also, for the listeners, I live in Southern California. So there's like two seasons here, and it's fall in the morning and then summer in the afternoon. Unless it's summer all the time. So I'm like trying to understand where he's at and what he's asking for, but I'm not right now going out searching for the quote Thanksgiving books, since I'm not really sure what he wants from that. Does he want books about the somewhat problematic story of Thanksgiving, or does he just want books about families and pie? Don't know. I'm going to wait and see if he comes back to it. Mm-hmm. You know, what his takeaway is.
He might be thinking for a long time.
You know what was interesting? So many of the listeners, and I don't know, Sam, if you kind of know this one chapter of the Lisa Murphy evolution, but Cindy, my Miss Cindy was the woman who really was the catalyst for me getting back to what I knew I believed in, but I had drifted so far from. Cindy straight up like all but grabbed my face like I was a misbehaving child that you were related to, that you could do that to, and said, like, why the hell are you doing this? Like, you don't even, like, she straight up, like, there was no, sugar coating. She's like, this is rude, it's inappropriate, it's unacceptable, and she's, like, throwing the anti-bias curriculum book at my head. Like, she's throwing this stuff at me. I had no idea what any of this stuff was, and so it hit me like, oh my God, like my world expanded. But I think I was able to recalibrate really quick with being more inclusive with that first baby step, simply because she was so direct. I think if she had sugarcoated it mm-hmm. a little more, the process would have taken an unnecessarily longer amount of time. Mm-hmm. And so I very much appreciate the fact that she was like, you need to stop this. This is rude. It's unacceptable. And, you know, specifically to the Thanksgiving holiday, she's like, no, we don't do that. You know, the kids are not running around with paper feathers sticking up out of their head.
Right. No, let's not do that, people. Yeah. That's a whole other episode.
That's a whole other topic.
About how problematic American Thanksgiving is. But I think that's so great that you had someone who you trusted so much and trusted you so much that you could have that admittedly very difficult, very intimate conversation with, because I know that a lot of people might not have that in their programs, or they might be the only one in their program. I know this was me for a while, who is sticking, sort of standing up to things that they know aren't appropriate or within the best interests of children, or aren't culturally sensitive, or are just kind of odd, or just things that make you feel icky. You're like, oh, I don't love that we're making pilgrim hats, and it's hard for me to articulate why, and what do I do now?
And to that, we've recorded almost a dozen episodes today so far, but some of that is that you bring to your teaching experience what maybe you experienced as a student your own self. Absolutely. And I think sometimes there might be, and forgive me, this is going to sound superficially, I don't even know, superficial, but like, I remember making those stupid hats, and I remember the experience. I remember the emotion associated with creating the stuff, and it was different than the daily school routine. So there's an emotional attachment to the experience. I don't remember learning anything about the holiday, I remember that we got to glue buckles onto our shoes, and it was different than what was usual, and the catapult for that was this thing that they're calling Thanksgiving. I just really liked wearing the silly hat that I made out of paper, right? So it's not always any kind of, I'm trying to push my bias or viewpoint, or, you know, it's often not that. It's just that this is what I grew up doing, right? So therefore I'm going to pass that along. And if Cindy had never said to me, let's talk about why I'm saying no, I'm not just telling you not to do it. You know, how many more years would that potentially have gone on? Yeah, so I think that's important for people to realize, like, there are a handful of people who I think are like, no, this is just what you do, and this is why we do it. And other people are like, oh, I'm sorry, I was just kind of going through the motions of what I thought it was time to do.
You know what? Back in 1979 or 1980, Sam, how long was this before you were born?
20 years.
13, you were 9 years.
Okay, so I was in fourth grade. I was one of...
Why is it always fourth grade?
Well,
a lot of fourth grade stories, Jeff.
I don't think I've told this one before. Fourth grade, I am one of 5-ish white kids in a school on the Winnebago Indian Reservation in northeastern Nebraska. And it was time for celebrating Thanksgiving. And you know what we did? We did all the fucking shit that everybody's doing all over the place back in 1979 and 80 around Thanksgiving. And nobody gave a fuck. And we had fun making hand turkeys, and we made buckles. And the only big difference was there was fry bread at lunch, which is delicious and delightful. And I don't know, we weren't woke, I guess, but life was fine. And we all, 98% of us turned out just fine. So I think the other thing is, it doesn't fucking really matter a lot. No matter what you do, everybody's going to be okay.
I do believe listeners just dropped the mic.
Yeah, he actually just left.
He
dropped the pen.
There were, and I ran a community center where the kids involved in that program were, 60% Native American
at
kids?
Least, yeah, yeah.
And Thanksgiving and all that stuff was still going on in the schools. And there was no blowback from any of the parents, because what we celebrated was, you know, people caring about each other and coming together, mm-hmm. and all that other stuff was just fun shit that we did. And I mean, maybe it's more woke not to do that stuff. I have no fucks to give about it, but I think we just do need to be more thoughtful. And maybe 1979 had it all wrong, or maybe we're a little bit too woke now, or maybe things are someplace in the middle. I don't know. Sam?
Yeah, I think your point about just being more thoughtful is really what we should all strive for. When first, nobody learns outside of themselves. You bring all of the experiences you had as a child, as a young adult, to the classroom where you're currently teaching, and that's great, and you should celebrate that. At the same time, you can also be more thoughtful about the things you do. For example, if you read about the Thanksgiving holiday and its origins make you uncomfortable, you have full permission to, like you did,
well,
Jeff,
you,
being together.
Do you mean the origins of the holiday or the first Thanksgiving?
I'm not talking Franklin Delano Roosevelt. I am talking the first Thanksgiving.
Because those are two different things,
Those are different things. Thank you for clarifying. Although we can also have a discussion about if FDR was right in his changing the date of the Thanksgiving holiday. But, you know, that's
FDR something. Was wrong about just about everything he did. That's another story. You know, right now, Sam, with her other hand, we can't see. She is making one of those memes the young people make nowadays. It's going to be a picture of me with a cartoon storm cloud over my head that says old man yells at clouds.
Well, I'm going to be making that later. Thank you.
And did you run across any interesting, when you write up these articles for the Playvolution site, you look at sample policies around the places. Did you find anything interesting when you were looking at them for this one?
I do. So first of all, listeners, no program handbook is safe. If it is on the internet, but just so you know, do I want my program handbook on my website? Just so you know, I will be able to find it. I have found amazing handbooks. I have found some truly fascinating reads that I really enjoyed.
And have you found some special ones?
I need to tell listeners, we're going to record an episode about dress codes at some point. Wait until you hear about that, because that there's like a 2-page thing. It's a behemoth. But moving on. So celebrating holidays and slash cultural celebrations. A lot of what I found. So I try to, again, just sort of like a background on what I do when I write these things for people that I realize I've literally never told. Typically what I do is I try to search for a pretty broad range of schools. I look for public schools. I look for private schools. I look for federally funded programs. I look for religious schools. I try to stick to schools in all 50 US states, in Canada, in Australia, and New Zealand. I have yet to find some in the UK, but if you have one and you're totally cool with me looking at it, you can send it to Jeff or to me, and I would really love to read it.
Childcare? Have you ran across any family childcare handbooks online?
No, I've ran across a couple, but not that many. The majority are center or program based, not that many family childcare ones. But I do have a few, and I keep them all in this like folder that then I look back on. So if you go to one of the policy pages and you read it, I typically try to include 3 to 4 example policies so you can get a feel for how other programs are phrasing the things that they're talking about. It's meant to be sort of a guide and inspiration. You literally cannot copy and paste them because Jeff has turned off that function, because that's not what we want you to do. We don't want you to copy and paste.
Well, I think there's room to be inspired by
exactly.
Sharing policies. But at the end of the day, I mean, this was advice I got 1,000 years ago, which was you could steal somebody, not steal, but you know, you could copy and paste, although that didn't exist at the time, but you could lift somebody's contract. But if you weren't willing to enforce it, right, you could lift somebody's policies. But if you were not, they might sound awesome when you yep. give it to prospective clients, but you still have to own it. So actually I wasn't aware of that. So I'm glad to know that that is
true. Yeah. So you cannot copy and paste them verbatim, but absolutely use them as a starting point to inspire how you're going to write your policies. And as you're writing them, think, is this something that's actually enforceable? Is this something that's relevant to the cultural context of my center? You know, all those good things.
Yeah. Or do I just like how smart they sound?
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, our big thing is you got to do what's in your policy. You got to do what's in your advertising. And that's why it's really important to be thoughtful about this stuff. Any last thoughts before we wrap this one up, Sam?
Last thoughts really that I have are a lot of the sample policies, you know, sort of, they all kind of run the gamut of we celebrate nothing. We only sell, like, we have our own school traditions and we believe that cultural celebrations are best in the context of the home, which is totally an option. Or we try to celebrate everything that our children celebrate, but we need the parents to step in and help guide that because it's their family experience, which I think if you're somebody that's like, yes, I want to celebrate everything, that's a really important thing, is to get people with firsthand knowledge of the celebration to be part of your community to help guide it along, because otherwise it can feel like you're trying to do everything and you're not really paying it the respect it deserves.
I'm gonna actually toss in a last thought today based on some of the other stuff we've talked about, which was
okay, I'll allow it.
Will you allow it? Okay. Which is losing your spot. If the celebration of a holiday or a cultural celebration, sociocultural celebration starts taking your focus off of the children and your relationships with the children, then I think at that point, regardless of what you're calling it or what they're doing, which ones they are, if it makes you lose your focus, then it's time to pull back.
Absolutely. Like, these things can all be part of your day. They can be part of your curriculum, but if they become
your curriculum, yeah.
Well, unless the kids drive it there.
Right. Unless the kids.
100% I agree with that. Yeah. Where's it coming from?
Yeah. Absolutely.
But you got that calendar that's, you know, has that day. Every day is like, it's pizza day. It's, you know, I wear glasses day. It's wear a hoodie day. Like, yeah. That can just get annoying.
Like, if all your kids dress up as service workers in celebration of Labor Day, like, we're all about it. Go for it.
On strike.
Yeah. On strike. You know, they hold ticket signs. And yeah. Okay. Keep that going.
That would be awesome. Could you imagine a bunch of toddlers wandering? Yeah,
to imagine it.
Oh, I don't have to imagine.
Not that image.
Sam, where do you want people? Do you want people to stalk you on social media? If so, tell me where.
Yeah, sure. My presently neglected, but I do promise to get back to it. Instagram handle is student comma teacher. It's all spelled out. And my email is the same, studentcomateacher@gmail.com.
There. So if you don't like anything in this episode, even anything I said, email Sam.
Please do. I welcome the trolls.
Oh, careful.
Sam's just getting started on her rhino skin. Right. Hey, everybody. This has been the Child Care Barbie Girl podcast. We will be back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Damn, nobody can see you wave.
I know, but I have to wave every time.
Every time somebody says bye-bye, you have to wave.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.